ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Reading this morning from Canto 3, Chapter 4, Text number 28. The scene is, well, the title of the chapter is Vidura Approaches Maitreya. The scene is that Vidura, having met Uddhava in a forest, much to his surprise and great delight, he began asking him about Krishna, because Vidura is the nearest and dearest devotee of the Lord in Dwarka, and he's seeing Uddhava in the forest. So he wants to hear about the well-being of the residents of Dwarka, the associates of Krishna, Balaram, all the associates of Krishna. And the series of questions launches two chapters of Vidura, or Uddhava, just glorifying Krishna and describing his feelings of separation from Krishna, letting him know that Krishna has gone and all the Yadu dynasty has gone, everyone's gone, and recounting Krishna's pastimes. When he's finished, same as when he starts, he has great grief due to separation, great joy due to intense thought of Krishna. And Vidura begins asking further questions. And Uddhava says, out of etiquette, you should ask those questions of Maitreya. He's in the vicinity. He was hearing everything as Krishna was speaking to me just now. And besides, Krishna has given me an instruction, and I must fulfill that. He told me to go to Rishikesh and associate, and Badrinath, to associate with the devotees of Naranarayan Rishi. Specifically, the idea mentioned by our acharyas was, as Krishna made his association again available to Uddhava to pacify his heart and feelings of separation, he wanted Uddhava to do the same thing, because the residents of Badri would also want to hear about the Lord and have their hearts pacified through separation. So to do that service, he chose Uddhava to do the service. And then the Lord got up and left. He describes these things to Vidura, and the scene is, they met in the late afternoon, early evening time, around the time of sunset, and they've been talking all night long, not noticing the passage of time, just absorbed in the middle of a forest, speaking about Krishna. And the sun has risen, and the day has begun, and Uddhava gets up and leaves, just like that, with great grief, just absorbed in thoughts of separation of Krishna. He here's the verse 27. Shukadeva Goswami says to Maharaj Parikshit, O King, after thus discussing with Vidura on the transcendental name, fame, qualities, etc., on the bank of the Jamuna, earlier it was said Saraswati, here it says Jamuna, Uddhava was overwhelmed with great affliction. He passed the night as if it were a moment, and thereafter he went away. So that's the end of a section, and that this next section is beginning with Maharaj Parikshit asking Shukadeva Goswami, at the end of the pastimes of the Lord of the three worlds, Sri Krishna, and after the disappearance of all the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties, who were the best of great commanders, why did Uddhava remain alone? It's just one question, and the rest of the chapter is the answer to that question. We have our well-known verse from Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tatvatah chaktva deham punar janma naiti mameti sorjana. So, on the one hand, it should be very simple to go back to Godhead, just understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's janma and Krishna's lila. You go back to Godhead. But on the other hand, if that's what's required, then that subject matter must be very special, very subtle in its meaning. Particularly so for souls that are embodied. That means us. We're souls that are embodied because we think of janma as the birth of the body, right? That's what it is. And our activities are karma. It's fruitive activities, that is, in pursuit of something, we do something. I want, fill in the blank, and so we do something. But Krishna's janma and Krishna's lila are transcendental. So, here in the third canto, rather than speaking about Krishna's janma, is Krishna's departure and the transcendental nature of Krishna's departure. And who can understand that but the most qualified persons? And Uddhava is among the most qualified, and Krishna has given him the assignment to explain it in his Preeti Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami explains that Krishna wanted, at the time of his departure, the time of Krishna's departure, Krishna wanted Uddhava to be the spokesperson for transcendental science about him, and for that reason he spoke Uddhava Gita, and he met with Uddhava separately in the forest, and then gave him a Sankirtan assignment. Go and give your association to others so that they can understand what just happened. I mean, imagine being the personality of Godhead. And you want to make sure that people understand. That's what Krishna has done. He selected Uddhava. He's got the qualification, and I'm going to make sure he understands, and then I'm going to give him the assignment. But it also meant that after Krishna's departure, Uddhava would have a reason to live. He has some service to do. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did like that with a number of devotees. He gave them some service even before his departure. so that they could sustain their lives doing that service in separation from him. And doing some service for the Lord in separation from him doesn't mean the material world stops. It becomes a smooth ride instead of a bumpy ride, and everything is nice. And still the material world. Doing some service doesn't mean the sea parts and you walk across the sea. I mean, it may happen, but you may also have a bumpy ride to cross the sea. But there's some service, and that sustains one's life. Purpose of serving the Supreme Lord or his pure devotee. So here, Krishna is giving that service to Uddhava. And after some time, Shukadeva Goswami will carry that forward, and then Uddhava can also leave. But the chronology, the timing had not been set up yet for Shukadeva Goswami to be that person. So Uddhava is taking that role by the Lord's deliberate plan. Not the same, but something similar to Ram's leaving and taking all of his associates and leaving Hanuman behind to propagate his glories. Hanuman feels great separation, but he also has some service. Not the same, but similar. He, the Maharaj Parikshit, wants to understand this subject matter. And it's worth emphasizing. He doesn't want to understand it superficially or just have a little information. He wants to understand the Lord's intent. Now, the Lord's feeling. The reciprocation of love between the Lord and Uddhava. Because he took everybody else, why he leave Uddhava? And why did Uddhava stay? Everyone else left. Just like the Pandavas. According to the first canto description, they left in their self-same body. They were feeling such separation from Krishna. They didn't even have a fratricidal war or any other thing like the Yadu dynasty did. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is doing one of these things where he takes particular words, as our acharyas have done, he takes particular words from the verse and shows the meaning of the verse from those particular words. So, in the verse, it starts, Nintanam upa gateshu vrishni bojeshu. Nintanam, according to Jiva Goswami, N-I, the prefix N-I, ne, means topmost, like uttama or nidhanam, the topmost. Dhanam means opulence. So this means that the bojas and the yadus, they went to Krishna's abode, the topmost abode. Aside from that rendering, there's another. The real purpose of the word Nithanam is to indicate that all the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties were direct associates of the Lord, and after the end of his pastimes, all the associates were dispatched to their respective positions in the transcendental abode. So, to catch the flavor of the question, the mood of the question. Uddhava is part of that realm. the Lord returned. They returned. He remained. He didn't go to that abode, Nityanam. And so why? Next, the word that's selected to expand the meaning of is akritim. Not short A, but long A. A, as in akritim. A means complete, like some, or a. Akritim. And kritim means activities. Kriti, to do something. So, akritim is transcendental pastimes. Since the Lord is identical with his transcendental body, there is no question of his changing or quitting his body. So, it's an opening to enter into a deep subject matter. Because the pastime is the Lord has just departed. And his pastime is transcendental. So, the pastime that's about to take place, because when Krishna left, Uddhava's association in that forest setting, what happened? He was seated alone and was shot with an arrow by a hunter. That was described in some verses previously by Uddhava himself. The lump of iron that was under the cloth of Sambha, and they went before, he and some other boys went before some brahmanas, mocking them. You know this lila. So when the lump of iron was ordered by Ugrasena to be ground into powder, there was a part of that lump that was remaining, like a core, and that was also thrown into the sea. A fish swallowed that lump. The fish was caught in a fisherman's net, and the fish was purchased by a hunter. And when he opened the fish, there he found this lump of iron. So he used that lump of iron to fashion an arrowhead, and it was that arrow that shot Krishna's foot. So Krishna died, right? He was shot in the foot. Well, who dies from a shot in the foot? You might hurt your foot. You might even lose your foot. But you don't lose your life. But Krishna lost his life. So it's akritim. As with his appearance, which is very clearly transcendental, forearm form. I mean, etc. Babies aren't born like that, with crown and ornaments and garland and a little different. So, and then everything in between his lila of birth and his lila of disappearance, Moshala lila, all of his activities are fully transcendental. And it takes a person of transcendental situation to truly understand beyond information, to truly understand with realization. Prabhupada writes, to act in accordance with the rules and customs of the material world, the Lord seemed to take his birth or to leave his body. There's no question of leave his body, because he is his body. Our situation is, within the body there's a soul. And we leave the body at the time of death. Krishna doesn't leave his body, because his body is himself, it's Swarup, his own spiritual form. Nonetheless, when Krishna was shot in the foot with an arrow, He left behind a body. Why did he do that? To bewilder the minds of the worldly people. Aha, just see. Krishna was killed. He left a body. Very interesting. And how to understand all that? It takes a qualified person to explain. Krishna chose Uddhava to be that qualified person. And gave his association and gave his instruction. Continuing, it is necessary, therefore, for the serious students of the Bhagavatam to follow the notes and comments of the great acharyas like Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti. To others who are not devotees of the Lord, the comments and explanations of such acharyas may appear to be grammatical jugglery, but to the students who are in the line of disciplic succession, the explanations of the great acharyas are quite fit. Or otherwise we're not going to understand. We'll think we understand something, we'll have our reasons to explain. Here's the something and here's why. It's not how to understand by ascending process, however reasonable it may seem. The next word is Nitanam upakateshu rishni bhojeshu upakateshu. All the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja directly reach the abode of the Lord. That's this. Upakateshu is translated in the word for word as having overtaken. Other devotees do not reach the abode of the Lord directly. Here's a little subtlety, part of the science of going back to Godhead. But the pure associates of the Lord have no attraction for the opulence of any planet of the material world. Sometimes, due to inquisitiveness, devotees who are to be promoted to the abode of the Lord have some attraction for the opulence of the higher material planets above the earth, and thus they desire to see them while going up to the perfection. But the Vrishnis and Bhojas were directly dispatched, upakateshu, because they had no attraction for material planets. It's like a tourism program. Here's your ticket and you have a stopover in the heavenly planets. No. We want to direct. That's the import of upakateshu. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also suggests that according to the Amarkosh dictionary, akriti also means signal. What's that? Lord Krishna ordered Uddhava by signal to go to Badrika Ashram after his departure. And Uddhava, as a pure devotee of the Lord, carried out the order more faithfully than going back to Godhead or the abode of the Lord. That was the cause of his remaining alone, even after the departure of the Lord from the face of the earth. So Krishna had not Krishna is very expert. He knew what his plan was, and he knew what Uddhava would feel after he left. But he had some service for him, so he arranged for him to come to him. And he told him when Uddhava saw him, and Maitreya also by providential arrangement, was also just happened to be in the right spot at the right time in the forest, and saw Krishna too, and heard Krishna. He said to both of them, your lives are now perfect. Just by seeing me and being with me, because he's about to leave. He's giving his like parting words. And both of them here. So this, what the commentary is saying is that Krishna's instruction was a signal. Akriti, a transcendental signal that says, so it's like, you know, a chain reaction, a cause and effect sequence of things. This happens, which is followed by this thing, is followed by this thing. It's not exactly cause and effect any more than, let's say, what's a good example? You know, a train is coming down the track. And so, woo, woo, yeah, the train is coming. It's a signal. It's not, that's the cause, and the effect is everybody stops and doesn't cross the track anymore. But it's a warning or a signal that says, this is what should happen next. Don't cross the track. Don't get crushed under the wheels of the train. So then the, you know, the barrier comes down, and the train passes. So the signal is Krishna is indicating to Uddhava. He's already told him that he's going to leave, but now he's giving him some specific service to do. And so that's in one sense a signal that for Krishna now he can leave, and that Krishna's leaving is a signal for Uddhava to do the service to Krishna that he was asked to do in his absence. Akriti. And the statement in the verse is Darir api tyajaya akritim trayadishaha. At the end of the pastimes of the Lord of the three worlds. So that's the signal. Sri Krishna, and after the disappearance of the members of the Vrishni and Bhoja dynasties, who were the best of all great of all the great commanders, why did Uddhava alone remain? Krishna gave him a signal. Transcendental signal. For a transcendental personality. What does all this have to do with us? You know, we're worried about our stuff. It transports our, by hearing this Krishna katha, it transports one's consciousness completely to Krishna, when he hears with absorption. And that absorption in Krishna will carry us to Krishna also. But how do we not just be sentimentalists, but have a proper understanding of Krishna by this very method? Here it is, third canto. Very reasonably early in the Bhagavatam compared to the tenth canto, but it's preparing us as we go along to hear the transcendental nature of Krishna's pastimes, the transcendental nature of the associates of Krishna. If we're reading carefully and attentively, we'll be lifted to that position, so that the rest of the subject matter that's preparing us to hear the tenth canto will be received with a transcendental conception. These are not ordinary personalities. They're directly under the order of the Lord, They're directly under the influence of the internal potency of the Lord. And so their activities, like Krishna's, are not to be taken as ordinary. They're very instructive. In the matter of our lives becoming attached to Krishna instead of attached to all the stuff that's going on, be attached to Krishna. Take care of the stuff that's going on responsibly, but be attached to Krishna by this very same process of hearing. As was Uddhava, a great personality, lifted to the position of a Uttama Adhikari, a perfected being, not just a learned, wise person, perfected being, by this same process, by hearing. He will transport us to Krishna by this hearing process, relieve us of the stuff, the material entanglements. Okay, I have a call that I got to attend in 15 minutes, so I'll take some time for some questions, if there's any discussion.
Thank you so much for this wonderful explanation, Guru Maharaj. I'm trying to understand the mood of Manamacharya Haridas Thakur.
The mood of Haridas Thakur?
He wanted to leave before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Okay. Nice. Okay, so?
Uddhava was not of remaining and doing the service.
He didn't want to remain.
He didn't want to remain.
But the Lord gave him some service. And different devotees have different moods also. That's perfectly fine. It's not that Uddhava was attached to his material existence and Haridas Thakur wasn't. Their mood of devotion is unique. Each person, their mood of devotion, if the fundamental basis is complete attachment to the Supreme Lord. But the Supreme Lord may have some different services for each of us. And the moods of attachment can be very different. And that's allowed. Not only now allowed, it's nice. It's the nature of the spiritual affairs. There's variety. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
How can we define peace? Peace is about...
How can you define it? Well, you can say what it isn't, and that's part of what saying what it is. Peace in the heart is not attainable as long as there is attachment to things that are temporary or illusion. Peace in the heart is being firmly situated in one's in reality or one's relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. A nice example is Prahlad. Although externally he was in a most difficult situation, he remained completely peaceful. Much to the amazement of his father, who was used to everyone being afraid of him. Mm-hmm. And you're not afraid of me. You're peaceful. So it's a condition. Peace of heart is a condition where one is feeling completely secure in the face of all features of duality, because of one's being firmly situated in one's relationship with the Supreme. So it's the absence of the influence of duality is the presence of a complete shelter in the Supreme. And because of being properly and naturally situated in that relationship with the Supreme, one is feeling this condition of peace. So peace is the absence of disturbance or the presence of shelter. Abhay, nothing I need to do in order to get rid of things that are fearful conditions. That's peaceful. So, positively speaking, I can conduct my activity with full contentment of heart. Service to the Lord. Being protected by Him. Anything else? Yes?
Taking Maharaj for the class, I'm trying to understand. I mean, it's not easy, as I know that. But Krishna appearance, I know, like, disappearance, like, you know. Can you explain a little bit and how to understand as a normal person? When it appears, when it disappears, I mean, I don't know, like, how to understand.
You don't know how to understand?
Uh-huh.
Well, it's, in one word, it's lila. When we do something, in contrast, when we do something, it's, we're lacking in something or wanting something, and so we do something to make, to attain that which we're lacking or wanting. It's purposeful. It's fruitive, specifically. And in Krishna's case, there's not something that he's lacking or wanting. And yet he does. So when Krishna does something, that's lila. It's his pleasure pastime. Now there may be, from Krishna's perspective, some feature of his loving character, loving quality. So, for example, described in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna creates divisions of society. Chatur Varna Maya Shrishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha. He creates systems of ways in which people can act. If they act cooperatively amongst the different divisions, all their necessities will be there. If they act in such a way that they offer the fruits of by yajna, by sacrifice to the Supreme, everything is there. But Krishna says, and yet I'm the non-doer. Specifically, he says, I'm the non-doer. So it's going on by his energy. It's not he goes to the office or does anything. It's his energies acting by his will. And though they're his external energies, and there's his internal energies. So his appearance is part of his internal energy, according to his will. What is that will? Those living entities that are rotting in the material existence, He wants to attract them once again to their loving relationship with him. Like a father might wish for a son that left home and he knows is struggling, to relieve him of that struggling condition and bring him into the family situation again so everyone is happy. So he may do something. Well, like that, Krishna has love for the living entity. And through the agency of his internal potency, the lila is there of, he appears as the son of Vasudeva Devaki. And he disappears by being shot in the foot by an arrow. That's all part of his arrangement. Samba, the lump of iron, the brahmanas, Ugrasena, throwing into the ocean, the fish swallowing. It's all his arrangement. So that he can act in accordance with the rules and customs of the material world. Although he creates those rules, he creates those customs. He didn't have to do any of that stuff. But he does. At the same time, he does in such a way, it's like Krishna's lifting of Govardhan Hill. He does in such a way, it's very clear. This isn't just, you know, a 6-year-old boy, 7-year-old boy. But he's reciprocating with his devotees so they can be in his association uninterruptedly for 7 days, day and night. Forget sleeping. Forget eating. And all the other bodily things that we do. But at the same time, curbing the pride of Indra. It's lila. He can do it in a million different ways. He chose that way, and that's his lila. The point here is to distinguish that lila from what we do. What we do is not lila. We're impelled by the laws of nature to take birth and to die. We're impelled by the laws of nature to have different feelings and to do different things. We're identifying as, that's me. I'm happy. I'm unhappy. I'm angry. And so on. You'll go through all that illusion. And when I was angry, this, I did this and that. And you know, it's all illusion. When I was happy, I did this and that. That's another illusion. Distinct from Krishna's position, that's lila. The idea here is, if we can understand the transcendental nature of Krishna's appearance and his activities, we're with Krishna. Krishna will bring us to him during this life and after this life. Our residence, although physically we may be situated here, spiritually we're with the Supreme Lord. We can't say that about, you know, Mark Twain or Edgar Allan Poe or George Washington or Indira Gandhi or, you know, Mahatma Gandhi or some worldly person. You can't say that just by meditating on Karl Marx. Well, go back to Godhead. Okay, the bell is ringing. I've got to go. Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada. Good day.